The budget deal worked out by Representative Paul Ryan and Senator Patty Murray passed the U.S. House yesterday. Now it's expected to go to the Senate next week, removing the threat of a government shutdown for at least the next 2 years.
But Speaker of the House John Boehner was not pleased with criticism from the Tea Party wing of his party and organizations like Heritage Action and others. Joining us to discuss the Speaker's criticism of those critics is Dan DeSalvo. He's Senior Fellow at the Manhattan Institute's Center for State and Local Leadership and Assistant Professor of Political Science at the City College of New York. Dan, welcome to the show.
My pleasure to be with you.
So as I mentioned, Speaker Boehner lashed out at some of his critics in his own party, saying, quote, they've lost credibility, they're misleading their followers. What do you think led the Speaker to make this criticism of those groups?
Well, I think Speaker Boehner, since the results of the 2012 election came in, has had the most difficult job in Washington. Mm. In a sense, you had 2008 and 2010, and 2012 didn't give a signal of where the country wanted to go, and this has led Speaker Boehner to be this linchpin of what's going to happen in Washington, and he's trying to govern a very factionalized Republican Party in the House. So in some ways it's surprising that he's kept his cool this long and not expressed any frustration with these groups, which have, you know, in some sense mobilized against any potential deal or action that could be crafted under divided government.
Seems like the core question that's making his job so difficult is the idea of controlling the House in divided government. Do you get what you can in a compromise, and Paul Ryan's made that argument about this budget, or hold out for more and just hew closer to principle at the expense of compromise, and Senator Marco Rubio has been making that argument. How do you balance those two ideas of how to manage a divided government?
And I think that is, you put your finger on exactly what's made Speaker Boehner's job so difficult, is in a sense there are two stark alternatives, and one really has to choose. And there's the Tea Party faction of his party, in a sense, many of the activist groups, Heritage Action and others, by taking a strong stand, can score some political points and can win donors and rev up certain parts of the Republican Party base. At the same time, the government needs to continue to function. It needs to continue to work. And if it doesn't, that's going to reflect poorly on Republicans, who will be seen as holding up the show, as we saw with the government shutdown just this past fall.
And speaking of that government shutdown, do you think that was on Paul Ryan's mind, on Speaker Boehner's mind, going into this this budget negotiation, wanting to not get that kind of blame that they got leading up to that shutdown?
I think that they absolutely had to consider it, looking at how far the party's poll numbers had sunk in the wake of the shutdown, and it's sort of pointlessness. Now, Republicans were also bailed out, and they could have even been capitalizing more on the botched rollout of Obamacare. During the shutdown drama, the beginnings of the stories in the press and so on about those difficulties that the Democrats were having were beginning to come out, and they couldn't take advantage of those. And I think Ryan and Boehner would like to focus energy a little bit on the problems on the other side.
I always wonder when we hear stories of rifts within a party, whether Democrats or Republicans, if this is really a substantial thing that's going to cause trouble for the party down the road, or if it's a blip that we in the media get really excited about.
Well, I've studied factions in American political parties and wrote a book on the subject, so I take the view that these factions, not in every case, and sometimes they are just a blip on the media radar screen, but sometimes they do end up being more substantial and in influencing really what the government does and how one party or the other develops. And in the case of the Tea Party at this point, I think it is a really substantial movement with an organizational infrastructure that can endure at least for a few years and a few election cycles.
But do they pull together, say, in the 2014 elections, and this tiff now won't be a big deal then? Or do you think it's going to be an issue, say, in Republican primaries?
I think it will be an issue in some Republican primaries. So those candidates, you can see this already playing out, especially at the level of many of the senators who are up for re-election, including Minority Leader Mitch McConnell. They're worried about primary challenges coming from the Tea Party wing of the party. So I think that division is there, and that's more problematic at the state-level senatorial elections. But in many of the House elections already, you know, the districts that are conservative enough to elect Tea Party members have already done so.
Looking ahead at what this might mean for compromise and bipartisanship in Congress, there's been a lot of talk, of course, about gridlock, especially the shutdown. Does this one compromise, not the grand bargain some people were looking for, but do you think it's an opening for maybe more cases of compromise between Democrats and Republicans?
Right now, given the level of party polarization, I would be betting on it not being a harbinger of great compromises coming down in the future. I think what will moderate the parties in any way are probably decisive signals on the part of Americans when it comes to elections, first here in 2014 and then the presidential election in 2016, that will indicate a direction that's in a sense break or weaken the deadlock or gridlock that's occurring in Washington right now. And then, of course, this can be shifted when some new crisis comes down the pipe that hasn't been foreseen by anyone.
Turning to the other faction, and maybe that's too strong a word, in the Republican Party, there has been some grumbling from establishment Republicans, is the term sometimes used, campaign donors not affiliated with a Tea Party network. Are they excited, do you think, happy to see Speaker Boehner calling out the Tea Party groups and thinking that it's their chance to regain the momentum within their own party?
I think most of those people, I don't think that the antagonism has become such that what they would like to see is a more unified party that is an effective governing party. So the tension here is partly between campaigning and governing. The Tea Party has been quite effective as a campaign vehicle of mobilizing energy for the Republicans. But many of those, say, more establishment Republicans also want an agenda that they can govern on. So I doubt that they're cheering on the speaker to foment conflict within the party, because ultimately it makes the Republicans' task of trying to become the majority party more difficult.
Before we let you go, we wanted to get your thoughts on PolitiFact. That's the fact-checking program started by the Tampa Bay Times, I think. They fact-check statements by politicians. They always give a lie of the year. They gave the award this year to President Obama, saying, if you like your health care plan, you can keep it. That's under the Affordable Care Act. You mentioned the Affordable Care Act earlier. What are your thoughts on that?
I probably think that they were that was far and away the best candidate for their award. You know, in some respects, this was a major strategic error on the part of the president and his team to allow this phrase to be in so many of his speeches when it was widely known and especially voiced by critics when it was first said a while ago that this wasn't true and this wasn't going to play out quite this way, and many of Obama's own staff knew this. They should have, and in part, Obama was ill served by, in a sense, the media, who've been more favorable to the president. They should have picked up on this and listened to some of the critics on this point, and the president wouldn't then be confronted with this now, and he would have been confronted with it right when he first said it.
Dan, thanks a lot for joining us today.
My pleasure.
That's Dan DeSalvo. He's senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute Center for State and Local Leadership, assistant professor of political science at the City College of New York.